Well, we're in the book of Isaiah today. And Isaiah, not my nephew Isaiah, who's here visiting, but Isaiah of the Bible that we're speaking of today was arguably I don't want to call him the most famous prophet, but he was definitely touched by God, a very very influential, and God used him quite often in the Bible to help bring the Israelites, to bring not judgment upon them, but let them know of the wrath that's coming if they don't turn from their evil, sinful ways. And the passage we're looking at today, it talks about, well, it's really commissioning of Isaiah, the cleansing him, the setting him apart for this huge task that God has for him. And as we read it, and I'm going to read it here in a little bit, you can't help but read it and just get a sense of the fear and the trembling that Isaiah must have had when he was in the presence, when he was having this vision in the presence of God. So as I read this, I got to thinking, what are some things that we're afraid of in life? And for me, one of the biggest things I'm afraid of, go ahead and put it up there, Derek, are spiders. When I see a spider, especially like that, it brings a little bit of fear to me. Because when I think I was just out of high school, I actually got bit by one and was off work a week pretty darn sick. But then there's some other things I'm afraid of too. They're slithery, they hide in your shoes, they get everywhere, and man, they bring fear to me. Actually, my kids, when they were little, when my kids were little, they had this rubber snake that they would hide in my dad's shoes all the time. And it scared him so many times that he finally, we don't know what happened to the snake. He just made sure it disappeared. But they get in places and they bring fear. They scare us. Some of us are afraid of heights. Who could do that? Anybody in here? I know I couldn't. Not a chance could I do that. But all these things bring fear in us. And in a minute, we're going to talk about how this fear can be good for us. But this week, I was walking through the church, and I seen on the pew, I think I have it up here with me, one of these little cards, and somebody wrote on the top of it, and it's perfect for today. I was scared of dentists. Go ahead, Derek. The next one. And this had to be a kid, and I love it, because it really brings it to light, but fear of dentists, and it says, and the dark. I mean, and I don't really, how do you put a picture of the dark up there? But this fear can get a hold of us at times and just almost cripple us when it gets out of control. But I want to do a little experiment here. We're going to get serious because this passage is very serious today. I want you to close your eyes for a second. And I want you to just, what comes to mind, that's why closing your eyes, just to get a clear picture, so there's not distractions. What comes to mind, or what is your view of God? When you're sitting there by yourself and your eyes are closed, what do you think of when I mention God? Or what is your view of God? And your view of God, and as we go, when you're comfortable, you can open your eyes again. But your view of God is very important. And it's very important to have an appropriate view. I mean, we know God is mighty and loving and caring and compassionate and merciful and full of peace. We know God is all that. And when you close your eyes and you get this view of God, what is your view of him? Is it this warm, fuzzy? Do you get these warm, fuzzy feelings like that God is just, I mean, just so full of love and does nothing but take care of people and all this happy stuff? Because that's an appropriate view. That's a good thing, to think of God that he's always there, because he is, and that he loves us. But what happens is, At times we can get this wrong picture, and I heard somebody very close to me once said that I can go do whatever I want because I know God will forgive me. And that's a dangerous, slippery slope to get into. Because they've taken this that God is caring and loving and kind to the extreme. I hope I'm getting my point across there, and we'll get into it a little bit deeper. But we can just look at one side of God and really miss the big picture. We can miss the big picture of God is kind and caring and loving and compassionate. But God is also a God that is holy, 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 and set apart. That's what holy means, by the way, is set apart. And some people, when they think of God, they think of him as this kind God that just is going to shower blessing after blessing after blessing. And he does that. He does that. But there's also some things to it there that the blessings come. But we need to be making sure we're worshiping God and we're following his commands as well. And if our only view of God is the and I'm truly, guys, I'm struggling with the right words here because I don't want to sound like God is not loving and all compassionate and all caring, but God is just as well. And if your only view of God is this God that forgives, and I'm saying this entirely wrong, so please bear with me here. But if you don't view God and have a little bit of fear for him, a little bit of reverent fear and respect, you're not getting the right picture. You're not getting the whole picture of what God is. And our view, one of the things as I was studying this week, I learned that our view can often be obscured because of our past. And one of the commentators was really big on this because when we're talking about God being our Father, God is Father. And a lot of us can have an obscured view of God based on what our dads were like as we were growing up. And we all have different dads. We all have dads that acted different, that treated people different, that, you know, some of us had dads that were an excellent example. Some of us, and this might hurt a little bit, but some of us had dads that when he came home, we hid because there was an element of fear there, because we didn't know how his day went, or we didn't know if he was coming home after drinking and going to yell at us or throw things at us, and we have this unhealthy fear. And so our view of God can be obscured because of that. Now, when I was growing up, I wasn't the least bit afraid. Well, let me change that a little bit. I'm not the least bit afraid of my dad now, but when I was growing up, I had a healthy fear for him because I knew if I screwed up and I did something wrong, there was consequences that were going to come because he cared about me, because he loved me, and he wanted to raise me right. Not the he cared and he loved me so much that he let me do whatever I wanted. There's a big difference there. And so I remember the one time I got in trouble at school. It was the longest bus ride home I ever been in my life. And there was consequences when I got home. But nonetheless, they were there because he loved me. And the consequences when we make decisions, the consequences from God, and we have to remember as we look at the little bit more stricter side of God, that those consequences are there because he loves us as well. So do we have an appropriate view of God? Can we see both the kind and compassionate side, but also the holy, the side that where for every time, for every decision we make, there's a consequence? I'm going to read here in a minute Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. And I want you to pay particular attention to what Isaiah, what his actions were, or what he did when he was in the presence of God. When he was sitting there, when he saw God on the throne, I want you to pay attention to his actions. Not really his words kind of describe his actions, but pay attention to his actions there because I think they're really important. Because I think he had an appropriate view of God. One, he was in front of God because he loved God. And he knew God had what was best, had his best interest at heart. But there was also some holy fear there. And I want you to see if you can pick this up. And as I read, remember, guys, and we're going to talk a little bit more about the specific verses, but remember, this is a very prophetic type scripture. And as we read it, it really parallels. There's a lot. It almost sounds like we're starting to read in a little bit of Revelations. So let me read Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and the whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Here's Isaiah's reaction. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." If you think he wasn't shaken in his shoes there, you might want to think again. "Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. With this, he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.' Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am. Send me.'" I think it's safe to say, I'm hoping it's a safe assumption to say that Isaiah was a little bit frightened. In the presence of God, I think every one of us, if we don't think we're going to be frightened, if we're in the presence of God like Isaiah was, then we do have a distorted view of God. But Isaiah was definitely full of fear. There is no doubt in my mind that, you know, he knew that people that see God don't go on. That's it. They're done. Isaiah had good reason to fear God, though, too, for another reason. And so I'm going to give you a little background here of what was going on in the book of Isaiah at this time. Isaiah, in this section, was being commissioned to begin his journey as being the prophet to the children of Israel. It wasn't a good time for the children of Israel. It wasn't a good time for them because they were walking away from God, and Isaiah knew this. It starts out with saying, this is the year that King Uzziah died. Now, how many of you here are very familiar with King Uzziah? Kind of an obscure king. We don't hear a lot about him. But he was actually one of the better ones for Jerusalem and Judah. One of the better kings. He worshipped God. He followed God. He was a really, really, really good king. We don't hear a lot about him, but he was a good king. But here's the key. If you read a little bit more in the book of Isaiah, after him, did it get pretty nasty. The kings had wanted nothing to do with God, and they were walking the children of Israel so far away from God that Isaiah knew just by the past, by what God has done in the past with the children of Israel, when they stray, God brings disaster to bring them back, to redeem them, to bring them back closer to him. And the kings after Uzziah were horrid. We have Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and they were some of the nastiest kings that we can read about in the Bible. And there's a few others in there. God was commissioning Isaiah to be a prophet to I don't want to say some of the nastiest people in the world, but definitely some of the nastiest Israelites in the history of the Israelites. They were not good. They were following other gods. They were worshiping idols, giving themselves up into all kinds of sins. It was probably one of the worst times in their history. And so what did God do? He sent Isaiah to just keep telling them that you want to turn your back on me? That's fine. I'll turn my back on you. I will let you have the desires of your heart. And that can happen when we don't have a healthy fear of God. And we turn our back and we have these sinful desires because them sinful desires are born in us. We all have them. And if we don't have this healthy fear of God, then we're going to give in to our sinful desires. And God's going to just let us have what we want. He's going to give us the desires of our heart, whether it's good for us or not. And that's what was happening to the children of Israel at this time. The Assyrians had attacked and conquered Israel and took all the Israelites into exile. And it was not like the exile they had seen when they were in Egypt. Slaves in Egypt. When they were in Egypt, they had houses, they had jobs. They could still function. They were not free, but they could still function. And this was very, very different. This was not a happy time for them. And Isaiah knew this. And he was commissioned to enlighten them. That yes, basically what the rest of Isaiah says is it's going to get pretty bad, but I'm still with you. It's basically God's judgment coming down on the Israelites. And he knew this. But yet he still said yes when God said, "Who shall I send?" Because he had a healthy fear for God. He knew to respect him. He knew to fear the Lord. And if the Israelites had feared God a little bit more, then maybe they wouldn't have strayed so far and had to go through much stuff in their life. And I don't want to say that, and this is what I really struggled with a lot this week. I don't want to say that when we stray from God, when we turn our back from God, when we sin, let's put it that way, that when we sin, that God's going to get us. That was one of my mother's favorite sayings growing up. God will get you. And I can still hear her say it over and over. I heard it a lot, by the way. But I don't want to say it that when we sin, that God is going to get us for that sin. But with every sin that we commit, there is a consequence. No matter what. I can even say it like this. Every decision we make in life, good or bad, there is consequences that go with that decision. There is all kinds of consequences. But the decisions we make that we don't have to worry about, that we don't have to lose sleep over, are the ones that God blesses, that are biblically sound. And when we are faced with temptations, and we see these, we all have different things we're tempted with, whether it's looking at, you know, pictures we shouldn't be, or having another drink when we know we shouldn't be having it, or yelling at someone, or just whatever it is, whatever we struggle with, we all have our own individual struggles. Sometimes a little bit of healthy fear for God might keep you from giving in to that sin, from giving in to the desires of your heart. Do you know fear of God, or fear of his word or his commands is mentioned 278 times in the Bible. 278 times. So it's a pretty important word thing that he wants to get his point to us. It's mentioned 43 times in the New Testament. So 235 times in the Old Testament, 43 times in the New Testament. We're going to get some numbers here, those of you who like numbers and do some facts. So when you hear those numbers, you start to think, well, maybe it's one of them concepts that's kind of Old Testament concept, but not real important in the New Testament because it's so different. 235 old, 43 new, still important, but maybe not quite that important. And there might be some truth to that because in the Old Testament, with the Israelites, how God worked is he worked with the entire people group, and he would often bring disaster to them people to help them see that God is the only thing that can get them through. But it's a little bit different today because we each have the Holy Spirit living with us, living within us. And he can convict us individually. So it might not, maybe you're thinking it might not be important, as important as it was in the Old Testament, to have a healthy fear of God. And when I talk of fear of God here, it's including his laws and his name and his word. But some more numbers. Love of God, or love for God, or love your God, is mentioned only 88 times in the Bible. Did you ever notice that? 88 times in the Bible. Guess how many times in the New Testament? 43. I don't think it's a coincidence that it's mentioned the same amount of times, that loving your God is mentioned the same amount of times as that you should have a healthy fear of God. Because that healthy fear is a reverent, is a respectful, that God created this, all that we see, that God created this. And that we need to be just a little bit fearful. And that we need to have that respect for him, because he is holy. He is set apart. He is above us and anything else in this world or in the heavens. We need to have that healthy fear. 43 times is fear and love mentioned about God in the New Testament. Now we're going to talk one more word. Some numbers. Trusting God. We all should trust God, right? If we believe in him and we know he has what's best in mind for us and wants what best for us and he loves us, then we should probably trust him with everything we can, right? It's mentioned 82 times in the Bible, only 9 times in the New Testament. And I think it's one of them things that yes, we need to have a healthy fear. We need to fear God, we need to love God, and we need to trust God. But I do believe that as we live where we do today in America, that for some reason we get this, I don't know if we're taught it or just the way we live our lives, that we're not really getting the right picture of God. We're getting the loving side, the graceful side, the God that, this is a hard sermon for me because there's not very good comparisons, but I want to call it the teddy bear God, the soft and cuddly side. And we don't want to look at what the lion side of God, the full of power and might. We just want that all soft side. And we try to block out the tiger or the lion side of God. And you need to have a marriage of the two. You need to have a good view of both of them. You need to have an appropriate picture. Proverbs 9:10. And here's some, and I struggled with practical things for today's sermon, but here's one. Proverbs are little snippets of wisdom, if you will. Proverbs 9:10 says, "Fear the Lord." The fear of the Lord, said that wrong. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's smart to have a little bit of fear for God. Proverbs 9:23, "The fear of the Lord leads to life." Leads to freedom, leads to life, leads to a life in Christ. And that should get us excited. From the beginning of the Bible, clear through the end, it talks about, it teaches us that we should have a reverent, holy fear for God. And we need to remember that, not forget that. We need to remember that. When I was young, I wasn't afraid of my dad. But when I messed up, or even when things were going good, or when I was doing right, and he spoke, and he said something. Now, this wasn't my teenage years. This was when I was little. But when he said something, I listened. Because I knew he loved me. I knew he respects me. And he wants what's best for me. And that the God we serve wants the same for us. He loves us. He wants what's best for us. And out of that respect should come a little bit of healthy fear. So that when he asks us to do something, or when he lays something on our heart, we are more than willing. I want to read verses 1 through 5 again. And just listen. Not only did Isaiah have a healthy fear for God, but so did the seraphs and actually the whole earth. I mean, the temple was shaking. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their face. Out of holy reverence for God, they covered their face. They were not even holy enough to look at him, or clean, pure enough. With two wings they covered their faces. With two wings they covered their feet. And with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." And at their at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was full of smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "for I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. And I have seen, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty," the holiness of God. The glory and majesty of God is so indescribable. It's so indescribable. And if we think, and if we are in the presence of God, we should be trembling in fear. Not a fear that comes from seeing a snake or a spider, but a fear of that we are in the presence of the God or of Almighty God. We better have a healthy fear for him. We need that. God is kind. God is loving. Full of grace, full of mercy. Full of mercy. But Exodus 20, verse 5, says another part of God, and these are the ones that we kind of like to look over. That God, and this is him, God saying this himself, "I am a jealous God. I am a jealous God." There is a side to God that we don't want to look at very often, but we need to bring us down to earth. Fearing God is healthy, and we need to make sure that we have a healthy fear of God. Let's pray. Almighty God, Lord, in all that we've done in our lives to fall short, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your grace and your kindness and mercy and loving and compassion, and that you care for us so much that you give us chance after chance after chance. But Lord, I also pray that you'll instill in all of us a healthy fear of you. So that when we're faced with temptations, when we're faced with things that come in our path that we want to give into, that we want to indulge in, Lord, I pray that healthy fear, if nothing else, that healthy fear will help us walk away from that temptation and not give in. In Jesus' name, amen.